Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And it is the Wednesday as we flip the calendar to December 1st, 2021, the show that you have completely fallen in love with, DiPietro and Rothenberg, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Lot to do today. Sump Rothenberg, 6:45. Lot of Giants conversation, some negativity. Certainly we'll get into the Daniel Jones injury. Looks like he's not going to play. The Knicks and the Nets was a very entertaining game last night, although the Knicks fan didn't get ultimately what they wanted. But before we do any of that, we say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. How are you doing today?
You know what I like? I like that every morning, whether you've slept, whether you haven't, whether you have issues in the house, when I say good morning, there's just that legitimate, I'm happy to be here, I'm happy you're here with me, and let's go.
I love you. I love Ray. I love RJ. I love doing the show. I love the people that listen to the show.
You love Buster Olney. That's for sure.
I love the fact that we have Nazareth Tabone University on board. I mean, I love it all.
Yeah.
You name it, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nazareth Tabone, the great university.
Nazareth Tabone.
Yep.
I just like to laugh. I like to laugh, and I mean, this is consistently every single day. It's three straight hours.
Paul Vouvelet University, PVU.
Although Cassie was not happy with you yesterday at all.
Why?
Not happy.
Oh, I know. I know why.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Listen, I didn't say I wanted to give it up. I said that I'm dedicated enough that I would give it up if I had to.
She wasn't happy with that. That's not a good answer for her.
Well, listen.
She said, you got to talk to your buddy Dave. That's a very disrespectful thing to say on the radio with Sherry listening. Got to step it up a little bit.
Well, I mean, you want honesty or you want me just to placate the fan, the listener?
No, I want honesty.
All right.
But in that moment, when you decided to think about it, I wanted you to think about and honestly choose your wife over football is what I wanted.
If you said you have to choose your wife over football, I would choose my wife. But when it comes to certain things, I have to make a decision what's best for me, and that's best for me.
And that's the beauty of you, and that's why we all love you, as crazy as you are sometimes. We're willing to deal with it because you're a big, hairy child is what you are.
There's no doubt about it. That defines me. That was actually what I was most likely to be in my high school yearbook. Just when he gets to his mid-40s, what will he be? A big, hairy child.
A 48-year-old infant, Dave Rothenberg.
You know what I was actually voted on that I was going to be?
Giant superfan.
No, I was already that. That had already been accomplished.
I want to be a college professor. Why can't we talk about that?
The host of America's Funniest Home Videos.
You'd be really good at that.
Yeah.
You would be really good at that.
That's what the senior class voted that I would wind up doing.
Because I'll tell you what, with anybody else doing, is this, like when other shows try to rip it off, like when the K-Show try to rip it off, is this a real college? Other shows can do it, but not to your level.
No.
I mean, they're not coming up with the genius that is Dave Rothenberg.
No, I mean, they're not coming up with a Paul Vouvelet.
No, there's no Paul.
Or they beat Glore.
Right. Michael Bublé's cousin, Paul Vouvelet.
Paul Vouvelet. yes, that is correct. Or Nazareth Tabone.
Nazareth Tabone. That's your best work yet. Nazareth Tabone is your best work yet. The delivery, you couldn't even spit it out.
Oh, my God. I couldn't. I got to it, and I just, you know that moment where you're just like, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to say anything here. Like, I'm at the
Pike's
end of the road.
Pike's Peak, Clark's Summit, or Nazareth.
Sandy went Pike's Peak.
I can't say it. Or Nazareth. Nazareth Tabone.
It's too good.
That's good.
Too good.
That's good. That's good stuff. All right. So let's get into the next good, not good enough, good game, exciting game, right? Had everything you wanted as a Knicks fan except the win. Because you know what frustrates me now, though? Again, the loss against Brooklyn, that's not a bad loss. What upsets me is that this third quarter thing is now a thing, and it happens all the time.
Yeah, good. You're right, good. Competitive game. And clearly, I mean, you could tell, I mean, that game for both teams meant something different. That wasn't just a normal regular season game. I mean, you saw James Harden's reaction. And that was actually the play that aggravated me the most in that game last night. Because you're right, the third quarter, there's no excuse for that. First of all, you should have a coaching advantage. Tom Thibodeau is a better coach than,
Steve
Nash.
Yep.
Right? So coming out of the half, you would imagine the team that's better coached would have the advantage. But for some reason, this team doesn't feel like they need to come out with that same. They don't need to match the intensity level of the other team coming out of half. So the Nets go on a 14-0 run. So now you're digging your way out of a hole the entire third quarter. And you do. I give you credit. I mean, you go on that 16-4 run to end the third quarter. But then, I mean, it was finishing time. And that's when, I mean, Kevin Durant, who wasn't very good in the first half, I mean, he scores 11 of the last 13 before the last couple free throws ended it. But the Knicks still are dealing with the same kind of problems. They're still trying to figure out what their rotation is. Here's the thing that's going to cause them problems unless somehow, some way, they can figure this out. And I don't know if they have the personnel to figure it out. Their half-court offense stinks. Without Derrick Rose running their half-court offense, when the game slows down, it stinks. Because there's no one besides Derrick Rose that can really break down the defense. He's the only one that can do it. Like, watching the other guys try to do it.
You're right. And he played well, I thought, last night. But I still get frustrated with this Julius Randle of, you know, isolate him, post him up. And you know, there are big guys that can do – Jokic can do it, right? Jokic, you get the ball down to him. He gets double-teamed.
Well, that's a different level, though. That's a different level, though.
I understand. But I'm just saying, like, Randle gets the ball, and once they double him – good things don't typically happen. There are big guys that when they get the ball down on the low block and they get doubled or defense caters over to them, they find a way to get other guys involved and to make plays. And that's just, you know, Randall's good. He's definitely a good player. I thought he played well last night, but he's not that caliber of a big guy.
Well, he goes, I mean, there are occasionally too. He's like a bull in a china shop, right, where he goes on tilt mode. Like last night, he takes the technical.
Yep.
Yeah, like he goes on tilt, and then he gets the ball stolen. He's going up for a... He's taking the ball hard to the rim, and the ball gets stolen by Durant. But no, you're not wrong. I mean, when he gets double teamed and they take away his left, he struggles, and he usually turns the ball over. But I mean, watching this team in the half court offense without Derrick Rose breaking down the defense, it's like, okay, I'm going to try to beat someone off the dribble. I can't. Okay, now you try. You can't. Okay, now we'll just hoist the shot up, or we'll give the ball to Julius, and now he'll accept the double team, and hopefully he can kick the ball out of the double team, and we'll have an open shot. But right now, I mean, Derrick Rose is. As good as Julius Randle was last year, and he was awesome last year, he's definitely taken a step back,
yes.
Probably closer to the mean. Derrick Rose is their best player. He is. And I don't even think it is a question.
So if I told you could afford to lose one guy, you would say you would want to lose Randle over Rose?
No, I wouldn't want to lose either of them.
No, I know you wouldn't want to, but you could afford to lose Randle more than Rose?
No, I don't think there's enough talent on the team where they could lose either of them. That's the problem. Like, that's part of the problem. Like, if you can't play Kemba, I mean, and Alec Burks had a good game. Like, when the team gets, when they play good defense, like really good defense, they get stops, and they get, and quickly is able to push the pace, they get out on the open floor, good. When it slows down, and all of a sudden now they get into the half-court set, it's not good. The offense is not good. But I don't want to focus on that because they competed hard, and it was a game that they, at the end,
a good game.
Had a chance to win.
It was a good game. And it's hard. Listen, I heard a lot of people complaining about the officiating. I mean, That's a foul. I'm sorry. And they were saying it on the broadcast. If Mitchell Robinson goes up and puts his arms just straight up, it's not a foul. He reached in. He hit Durant. That's a foul. And I'd love to be able to sit here and say, you know what? The officials really, really hammered the Knicks last night. I saw a lot of this on Twitter. I didn't feel like that. I felt like the officiating was fine.
Well, I mean, just attempt-wise. I mean, when you look at the attempts, they're minus. I mean, the Nets had 25 free throw attempts. The Knicks had 12.
Yeah.
And they made 22. You made 11. So, that's minus 11 at the free throw line. And James Harden, clearly, I mean, he was going to be aggressive. He was aggressive from the start of the game. He had a really good first half. I mean, he had 10 free throw attempts in the first half. And then went quiet in the second half. I mean, I think it was almost 8 minutes. He was scoreless for the last, I think, 7:45 of that game last night. But that's when it was Kevin Durant's turn. But, I mean, Brooklyn's dealing with the same kind of issues, too. I mean, Blake Griffin is benched now. He's not playing.
Well, he's the Kemba Walker of Brooklyn.
So, yeah, I don't know why they chose him over Jeff Green. I would have kept Jeff Green. I think that was a mistake, especially not having Kyrie now.
All the problems that Brooklyn has, I mean, they're 15-6, and they're still very, very good. They still have closers.
Well, no, they have closers. You saw that with Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant is the first or second best player in the NBA. I mean, you pick who you want. It's either Steph or KD probably right now, the two best players in the NBA.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
If Harden plays the way he played in the first half, yeah, they're a really good team. But you've seen this team against the upper echelon teams, they haven't been able to win. Like, they're missing that one piece, which is Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, this is a long game for them. This is not what did you do on November 30th. This is what are you doing on June 13th. You know, this is a long game for them. And I think a lot of their season depends on what happens with Kyrie Irving. Because I still find it hard to believe that if Kyrie Irving comes back, that's not the best team in basketball.
Well, I don't know about best team in basketball, but they'll be right there. I mean, you got to think, too. I mean, Golden State with how good they've been. Now, they lost
Phoenix
last night.
Phoenix is great, too. I get it. Yeah, you're right.
Phoenix. But, I mean, you're seeing, Phoenix is what it is, right? Like, the thought of Golden State now all of a sudden getting Klay Thompson back and Wiseman back, I mean, that's a scary proposition. And if the Lakers could ever, stay healthy for an extended period of time. But they'd be right there, depending on what kind of shape Kyrie is in if he does come back. But listen, that was a really good game last night. It was. And it was a game I thought Knicks have been better on the road. Mm-hmm. And that building
You say better on the road, though. That didn't feel like that was on the road.
No, I know, but it's not your building, though. I mean, they have not been as good at home. So they're on the road, and I'm having played on bad teams, like we play, Islanders, Rangers, when we stunk and the Rangers were good, and you play at the Coliseum and there's more Rangers fan than Islanders fans, that's not easy. I'm telling you that like you go into a game like that and you step on the ice and you're getting booed by Rangers fans, or the Rangers score and the place just erupts with Rangers fans. That's, as the home team, that's a brutal feeling. Which in that case last night would play to the Knicks, to the Knicks' favor. And they were right there. But again, it's the same. We're still having the same conversations with this team. That third quarter, I don't get it.
I don't understand. It's so maddening, too. And it's almost like when they come out of the half, you kind of expect it now, right? You're like, oh, God, is that thing going to happen? And more often than not, Rick, it does happen. Like, you come out, it's just you get hammered. I mean, you put yourself in a position where if you don't play great basketball after you've had that moment where you've fallen apart, you're not going to get yourself back into the game. Now, fortunately, they did, and they fought, but it's just, I don't know. I don't understand why that happens.
No, it shouldn't, though. I mean, you're a really well-coached team. It's not like you're overly talented where you can afford to take your foot off the gas for a minute.
You have no talent where you should come out and, you should get 16-0 runs hammered against you.
No, I know. But part of it, too, is you saw the lack of effort. I mean, in that play, I'm telling you, that Harden putback, and you saw his reaction to that.
Was that like on the third chance is what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, that got me very upset.
Like, Fournier, he's not good enough. Like, there's nothing I hate worse than guys, like especially veteran guys that aren't great players that don't give me max effort. Right? Like Durant misses the three and it's a long, and Fournier's just standing there looking at it. And Patty Mills comes in and takes it. I'm like, what?
Then didn't they miss a second shot?
Mills. Mills misses another three, and that's when Harden comes in.
And then Harden comes flying in with a dunk.
Yes. And gets the crowd going. But
it was terrible.
They got to figure out that third quarter thing because you're. I mean, you're not wrong. You got to go on a to get yourself back in the game. You got to go on a 16-4 run.
Right. So have to have an equal run to that at some point in the second half of the game. And sometimes you will because the NBA is a game of runs, and sometimes you won't. And if you don't, now that 4-minute stretch to start the third quarter has cost you a game. And you could argue that it did yesterday anyway. That you know, you never really got over the hump, and that ruined the game for you. And that can't happen. Like, you're too talented, you're too well coached, and there are guys on this team that can make shots. You can't come out of halftime continuously. If it happens once or twice, fine. This is now a thing. This is now when the Knicks come out of the half, you can turn to your buddy and say, oh, God, is that going to happen tonight? And it did again last night.
But you know, though, it's no surprise. Like, we talk about it in the locker room. Like, to start a game, especially on the road, like, to start the game, first period, okay, make sure first 5 minutes we're ready to go because they're going to try to come out hard, bring the play to us, get the crowd going, and we got to weather the storm. Same exact thing. Like, you're on the road, going up against one of the better teams in the East, and you know that they're going to come out hard to begin to start the third quarter. Because all these teams know, they get it. Like, they all scout you. I'm sure Steve Nash was telling the guys during halftime, like, this team struggles in the third quarter. Let's come out and let's give it to them to start the third. That's exactly what they did. Well, it shouldn't be a surprise to you by now.
Nope, but it's every single game.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
RJ's got to be better. Okay?
No reads?
No, not about the reads. I'm saying with Stump Rothenberg. Like, some of the questions that get by RJ are, I don't consider them to be great questions. And I think that it's understood that I adore RJ, and you do as well. I think Ty Butler on Saturdays does a better job of screening the calls and telling people, yes, you in fact can or cannot come on based on your question, better than one RJ Santillo.
I think it's more of an extended segment, though, on Saturday. And I think RJ's got a lot going on in that moment. But here's my suggestion, because you know how much I love Stump Raw. It's my favorite day of the week. I gave you the day. It was hump day. It's now Stump Day. I gave you the day.
Thank you.
I think what we need to do, because I really enjoy it on Saturdays, is I think we go a couple questions. We've got Andy from Merrick starts it off.
Yeah.
We'll take another question. I'll ask my question. So maybe three really good questions, potentially okay. Four, depending on how quickly you answer. And then I think, because this is my favorite part of Stump Rothenberg, we incorporate rapid fire where they went to school for a couple.
You like that?
Yeah, because it keeps it up tempo. You know what I'm saying?
Nazareth to bone.
Nazareth to bone is full court pressing me right now. This is, I'm talking Lincoln Riley kind of full court pressing me.
Really?
Yeah, like, we'll buy your house for over asking, buy you a new house.
They want you to coach their hockey team?
Yes. 24/7 Uber whenever you need it.
Uh-huh.
It was amazing yesterday listening to some of the takes about Brian Kelly, who is a bad guy, by the way. When you read some of the stories about Brian Kelly, not a good
guy.
Did
you see the story? Well, you know what? I'm not going to say it.
Don't ruin it for tomorrow. Yes, I saw
it. I know you want to get into it tomorrow. But that is
awful.
Horrendous.
That's awful.
Horrendous, that story.
That is coming to America. I mean, Hurley texted us yesterday. That's exactly what that is.
Yes.
Come to our party. Oh, we get to go to the party. No, you got a valet cars.
No, you will be the wait staff at the party is what will happen.
But how do you turn that down? Like, you see Lincoln Riley's deal. How are you turning that down?
I'm good.
Keep the 110 and then don't buy my two houses, then buy me a $6 million house. I don't really want to live in LA. I'm good. I'll stay in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but it's such a slimy industry.
Well, college football is slimy.
Coaching. Ugh. It is. It is gross. It really is. All right. Let's get back to the Knicks. Julius Randle. By the way, 1-800-919-3776. Knicks fans, Nets fans, if you're out there, we'd love to hear from you. Here is Julius Randle. Not happy. Why? Not because of the law specifically, because he doesn't think that he is, and this team is, specifically him, officiated fairly in the NBA.
Got to ask them. I don't know what they're watching or what they're seeing, but you got to ask them. But like you said, as aggressive as I played, attacking the paint, you know, I can't be penalized for just being stronger than people. And that's an answer that I got today.
Julius, from the refs?
Yeah.
They said that you're too strong?
Yeah. They said because certain contact doesn't affect me, like affects other players, because I'm stronger, they missed the calls.
Here's the thing I'd say, because the one person I think about that with, and he's not this guy, but Shaq.
Yep.
Normal fouls were just not, I mean, he was too strong, he was too big, and I don't necessarily think it's fair, but I think, you know, sometimes you get the benefit of the doubt. I think you don't when you're a guy like Julius Randle, because you're so big and strong.
Yeah, you play through contact. I mean, LeBron, same thing. I mean, how big and physical LeBron is. And the other thing, too, is you're on the road, right? And it's, I mean, you're going up against James Harden and Kevin Durant. Like, they're going to officiate Kevin Durant differently than they're going to officiate Julius Randle. Like, he's not on that level yet.
Not yet. He never will be on that
level. No, never. And he doesn't. It's how you sell it, too. I mean, the NBA is clearly trying to crack down. I mean, you've seen that to start this season on what they're calling and what they're not calling. But I wouldn't point at the officiating and say that's the reason why the Knicks lost last night.
No,
it didn't
but that,
help.
That's what fans do. I mean, that if you love this team, I don't like to do it. I can't stand doing that, right? With any of my teams, I don't like it unless there's something so egregious. Like Santiago did it the other day. It was just such an unattractive side of him. On Thanksgiving, he's like, oh, the Cowboys really got hammered with the officiating. First of all, the Raiders had like double-digit penalties for over 100 yards. Secondly, the Cowboys led over 500 yards of offense. So if you want to complain about something, I always look inward first. But it is frustrating. But you can't use that as an excuse. You have to win in spite of bad officiating, or what you consider to be bad officiating.
Yeah, but as players, we know that, though, too. Like we know that going into games, that on the road, you know, games are going to be officiated a little bit different. Like, sometimes the referees get caught up in the momentum of a game and will make calls that benefit the home team. Like, they're human beings. Right? That happens. We know that. Or that star players will be officiated different than everybody else. But, I mean, that's no excuse for taking that technical foul. That's a stupid technical foul.
Stupid.
That's a dumb play. That's a controllable mistake. I think Tibbs making that wasn't a good challenge. Cost you a timeout. And at the end of the game, when you needed it, you didn't have a timeout.
You could use that timeout, get the ball at half court, get a much better look at a three. It's a very valid point. Here is Tom Thibodeau. Thoughts on the way Randall is being officiated right now?
Something's not right. I'm watching what's going on both ways. And, hey, look, they're a good team. They played well. But I know Julius is driving that ball pretty darn hard, and I'm pissed.
Well, he's out of control, too. That's the other thing, though, is he gets out of control. I don't know if Julius Randle's the easiest player to officiate when you watch him.
I'm sure that he's not.
And, again, I know you don't want to do it, but, I mean, there is something to be said about selling it a little bit, too. Like, oh, in that moment I was fouled. Like, I mean, that's part of it, too. But he's a big physical guy, and I mean, he does drive the ball hard, but a lot of the times it's just, like, in full speed, I would have a hard time, too. Like, did he initiate the contact? Like, he's going in at 100 miles an hour, you know?
And he's a huge guy.
And he's a big dude.
And it's hard to determine. Let's get to some of these calls. Let's go to D-Rock in Brooklyn. We have found our Nets fan. Good morning, D-Rock. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning. I'm driving on the way to work, but I knew this was going to be a topic, and I definitely wanted to listen in to see what the talk was going to be. I was in the house yesterday. My honest assessment, it was about a 65-35 pop, so the Nets fans were definitely outnumbered, probably 2-1 in there. You guys were loud in there. That James Harden putback slam, that definitely brought the roof down, though, and that nice, I think it was about a 14 or 16-year-old run, have had us up and off the chairs for a good while. So, yeah, I made the run.
But, D-Rock, let me just interrupt you quickly.
Yeah.
And I'll give you the floor in a moment. All right? For you to sit here and say you think it was about a 2-1 Knicks advantage in the fans is pathetic.
No, it's not, though. Here's why. Because y'all been here for decades. You know, I'm born and raised in Brooklyn. I appreciated the New Jersey Nets when they were there, but I couldn't claim New Jersey. So when they come to Brooklyn, I never was a Knicks fan. That's why I'm very staunch in my stance today. I was never a Knicks fan growing up. I believe it or not, I was a Pacers fan growing up. That's how much I hated the Knicks. Once the Nets came to Brooklyn, I, without a doubt, dropped the Pacers, and I rep Brooklyn now every day, all day. So y'all have the numbers. You know, y'all have the quality. You know, y'all were loud in there, but we leave the Barclays Center proud because we got the win. I see what the record is as of late. You know, I know y'all got swept last year in the 3-0 series. But this is what we can expect more. And one more thing with the Nets fans and how most of us don't listen. I think the reason why is because most listeners know that when the Knicks are the topic and the Nets come up to be the sole topic, we don't necessarily get the quality of respect as a Nets fan. So most of us will say, you know, we got our own podcast, we got our guys that we listen to, you know, when the Knicks fans,
but D-Rock,
you know, we even saw it in the Barclays.
But D-Rock, that's not fair though, D-Rock. Yeah. D-Rock, that's not fair because there are times, I mean, especially last year, there were times when we do the show, we'd be sitting there prepping for the show, and what's the story? And the story would be the Nets, and we would open a show with the Nets, or we would open a segment with the Nets, we'd open up the phone lines, and it'd be crickets. There would be one person that called in.
Okay, and I was one of those individuals that called in. I was probably the person that called in. I sat on the Alan Hahn show for 2 hours. And didn't get a call and wasn't brought to. Matter of fact, that one show, that's why I stopped listening. That one show, he went to a Knicks call that was belligerent and basically said nothing. And I sat there for 2 hours.
All right, well, we're not going to get into the specifics of your one call, and Han, and thanks for the call today. But my point is this, is if I don't know, but if he's saying, and Santi, you were at the game last night. Why don't we get this? We'll take a quick break, come back, and Santiago was at the game. He was producing it for the MSG Radio Network. We'll find out, really, you know, what the percentage of Knicks fans and Nets fans were last night. And I got to tell you, if it was 65-35 Knicks, I don't care what the caller says. That is absolutely embarrassing.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
So, Santi, you were in the building in Brooklyn last night. What was the feel? Was it heavy Knicks? Was it close to 50-50? What was it?
I'd say it was probably 60-40 Knicks fans to Nets fans. And listen, both fan bases got pretty loud at certain points of the game when guys would get to the line. Big MVP chance for Kevin Durant, obviously. But Julius Randle probably got more MVP chance when he was at the line, the rare times he did get to the line. And there was a lot of booing from both sides when guys were shooting free throws. So it was kind of like a high school or college rivalry game. It was a lot of back and forth.
But you definitely had the feeling there were more Knicks fans in the building than Nets fans.
You felt that way in terms of the cheering, and it looked that way in terms of the visual. A lot of orange and blue in the crowd.
I don't know. Maybe this is like, oh, that's pathetic, no?
No, it's unfair. I could not disagree with you more.
How? How is it unfair?
You've been doing this show for how long? You know this is a Knicks town.
All right, so then let's just say that. It's a Knicks town, and the Nets are clearly the second team, and that'll never change.
Yeah, but right now they're the better team. So that's fine. They don't have as many fans, but who cares? If they win a championship and we don't, we'll still be equally as upset.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you are hosting a team that also plays in your city and there are more fans of the other team than your team, because you know if the game's at the Garden, it's not close to 50-50. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I think it's pathetic. I do. I would be embarrassed if I was a Nets fan, because I know that I go to my home arena and the visiting team is going to have more fans than my team is going to have.
Yeah, but why would you be embarrassed, though? I don't understand that. Why would you as a fan be embarrassed? You're paying your hard-earned money to go root on your team. It's not your fault that there aren't as many fans.
Well, I'm not saying it's your fault. I would just feel a way about it.
I mean, this is coming from a guy who grew up, 5 miles from the Coliseum?
Right.
He was a Rangers fan?
Right.
That's embarrassing.
Why? How's that embarrassing?
Oh, that's embarrassing for the Islanders, that somebody that grew up that close to
when
the Coliseum
they were great.
Would be a Rangers fan.
When they were great.
Yeah, which is crazy to me. Crazy. One of the greatest teams in the history of all sports. And you chose the Rangers.
Didn't want any part of them. That's right.
Disgusting you are.
Just shows the pull. The
gross.
The allure. The Kevorka of what the Rangers have. They just have that special something.
That's fine. You made your choice. That's fine.
I made my choice. Listen, you can't say I'm a bandwagon. It would have been very easy to jump on this 4 cups in a row in the early 80s.
Very easy.
I didn't.
Very easy.
Very easy. I didn't jump on it. Now you guys have
some great stories.
Oh, you want to sit arena.
Down? You want to sit down and listen to some stories? That home arena right now is a problem, though. The parking and everything else in that arena is a problem.
Have you been there yet?
I have not been inside.
I've heard it's gorgeous, though.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, I've seen the alumni, we get pictures and everything else, and everyone I talk to. I've had some buddies that have skated there and said it's gorgeous. Gorgeous, but the parking is an issue right now.
Well,
the traffic
I don't understand
is an issue.
This. They do like studies and research and charts and graphs and just nonstop everything. How is it such a problem, the parking?
It's where it's at, man. It's just, it's how it's set up. It's, you know, I think I've heard the trains only come in one way And then people are smart enough, like, well, if I park here, it's going to take me this long to get out. So I'm going to just park. I'll park in one of the neighborhoods. So the people around.
Oh, that's the worst.
Around the arena are upset. It's just it's a gorgeous arena in a traffic-wise a difficult spot.
Well, you know, they knew that going in, though. Let's get back to some of these calls. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to JoJo in Nutley. JoJo, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I was actually thinking the exact same thing, Dave. I was like, I got to call tomorrow and ask Rick, like, has he ever felt a way, you know, being a goalie and having, like, more Ranger fans, like at an Islander game or, you know, vice versa. But the one point I wanted to ask or talk about about yesterday, didn't hate the Knicks game yesterday, but the one thing that bothers me, and I know you're a Mitchell Robinson hater like me.
I'm not a hater. I think that he's not what a lot of people think that he is.
Yeah, no, I 100%. But what is he doing for us on offense? Like, realistically, he's not giving us low post moves. He's basically in there just to be a body to rebound, I guess. Like, I just want to know what you guys think his role is, because, you know, I think that was a big part of the game yesterday. They took him out. They took Obi out to put him in. And there was a, you know, end of the game. I think the Knicks took the lead by two. Kevin Durant took a shot, and he can't even get the rebound. It's hitting off his hand. He's not getting position. And I'm like, you can't play offense for us. You can at least get us a rebound. Am I wrong?
No.
Well, he's your only rim protection. I mean, that's the problem right now. He's your only rim protection. I mean, with no Taj. And I mean, I don't think Nerlens Noel is 100%.
No,
but neither of those guys
anyway.
And Noel's he does nothing for you offensively.
No, they don't have a guy in the five that can really make a play offensively. I mean, Robinson and Noel are not those guys.
No, they're not.
But he's right. If you have no offensive game, the things you do, you better do really, really well.
Yeah, and you have to be available. That's the other thing that I know drives you crazy
that drives me crazy.
The Knicks have some issues. The Knicks have some issues moving forward. And, I mean, Kemba's the first step, but they still have some issues going forward.
Which was clearly the right move. Angel in East Meadow, right near your beloved Coliseum. Angel, you're on 98.7.
Morning, guys. Listen, traffic is the worst over there. I got to go to work, and it's always so horrible during game time. But besides the point, this call about Julius Randle. And I just want to let you guys know, I look at the New York Knicks, and I say, why are they not at the free throw line as much as every other team they play? You see, the Knicks only took 12 free throws yesterday. I felt like I just watched the Nets at the free throw line the entire game. So when Randall feels like he should get a call, you don't get it. You know why? Because first of all, you're shooting the ball instead of like going to the hole like the rest of the players in the NBA do. They go to the hole, they get their foul. Not everybody can sell it as good as other people, and superstars get more benefits than regular players, but he's an all-star. But at the end of the day, go to the hole. Go to the hole, dude. You're 6'7" down there. Go to the hole. Earn your foul. That's the only way they're going to respect you. After you get fouled, the first thing that you do is pout. You put the most ugliest face you could imaginable. You look like LeBron James, his face. It's horrible. They're pissed at you after you – who knows what you're saying – because we don't hear it, but you must be saying your face says it all. Like, they don't want to give you the – I feel like they don't want to give him the call after he makes such a dramatic bid for a call. That's all I really had to say.
There is something to be said about that.
Line a little more.
There is something to be said about that. You're not completely wrong. Like, to the point now, like, where you go into these games, like, if anyone watched that Toronto Maple Leafs all or nothing, like, you see it on their board, like, when the coach comes in to do the, you know, pregame speech, like, they'll have the referees, the linesmen, names. Like, these coaches go into depth, like how these, you know, how these officiating crews call games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what you try to build relationships with them so they do give you the calls. And being nasty to them
it's not going to help you
at all.
It's definitely not going to help you.
And free throw attempts wise, too. I mean, you say what you want. Like last night, the Nets were clearly getting more calls than you were, but. I mean, on the season, the Knicks are ninth in the NBA with free throw attempts per game.
I hate the complaints. I hate the excuses. And maybe that's unfair of me. I just don't like it. I don't like when a game ends and your first thought is, oh, well, we got screwed by the officials and they did this and they did that. Listen, that's a foul. I heard a lot of people last night. That's not a foul on Mitchell Robinson. That's a foul on Mitchell Robinson.
No, that was a foul.
That was a foul.
No, that was a foul. As fans, as players, we all do the same things. We all look for some excuse. When you play hard and you lose, you look for an excuse.
But the other team can make a shot or have a moment or be a little bit better. I mean, that's just what it was last night. You know what? You know what angers me and would anger me if I was a player? Coming out and allowing the other team to go on a 16-0 run. That angers me. That's embarrassing. There's no reason for that. That can be remedied. That you control within. That's not, we need help from the officials. You have to be better. You have to be.
Yeah, and it's not something that just popped up. It's like, oh, man, they got off to a poor start in the third quarter. I haven't seen that before. No, you see it a lot, too much.
That's unfortunately the script of what they are right now. Antoine in Jersey. Good morning, Antoine.
Dave, Rick, how you guys doing? Greetings and salutations. It's been a while working overnights. I've missed listening to you guys. Now that you guys are on at this time, you make my commute home a whole lot easier.
Nice. So you've already worked and you're on your way home from work.
Yes. I actually worked a 12-hour shift. I came in at 5 p.m. I'm actually heading home right now. I'm getting ready to head home right now.
So you get a little breakfast, go into the house, Listen to our show, Probably get into bed, And then under the covers, and then listen to us. And then at 8 o'clock, maybe you start to doze off, and you listen to the start of KJM, and you just kind of doze off. Is that how it plays out?
Yeah, in a way, sometimes. But also, I listen to you guys until it's time to get my daughter ready for school, my son to daycare.
Wow, you got it quite good.
Look at you, so you really don't even sleep. I mean, so you're not even really sleeping. Yeah. So you're going to get home, eat breakfast, and then what? I mean,
then you're going to start the whole kid process?
So you start the day.
Yeah, I basically got to get them ready for school. I mean, I got a 6-year-old daughter, I got a 2-year-old son, I got to get them ready for school and daycare and everything else.
So when do you go to sleep?
I'll sleep when I'm dead, but usually right after I take my son to daycare. I've been working overnight for 24 years, so I'm used to it. But, eventually, after the holiday season, I'll be working in the afternoon from 1:30 to 10. I'll make things a little bit easier, at least, and I'll probably have the weekends off, too.
That's much better. 5-5 is brutal. All right, Antoine, what do you got on the Knicks?
Well, first off, Dave, happy Hanukkah to you and your family.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, the thing about it is, listening to you guys talking about the situation when the Knicks play the Nets, always in Brooklyn, it's always a 60-40 Knicks fan. I'm not surprised in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. You might as well say it. The Knicks play 43 home games instead of 41. The only other team that play 43 home games are the Lakers, because even when they play the Clippers, the visiting team to the Clippers at Staples, all of them are rooting for the Lakers. My thing about the Nets, I feel, is they were better off staying in Jersey, because they felt like, for some reason, they felt like a New York address was better for them, and it's not. And it's always going to be hard for them to grow the fan base that they want to be. They chose to be the team of a borough instead of trying to be a team of the state. And to me personally, and even though I'm a Rangers fan, I sometimes feel like the Nets sabotage everything possible for the Islanders not to go back to Long Island. I feel like if the Nets would have partnered with the Islanders, let them play Brooklyn temporarily, and then allowed them to go back to Nassau Coliseum, I think some Islanders would become Nets for that reason.
Well, Antoine,
it seems like
Antoine. Just so you know, too. I mean, part of the reason why Charles bought the team was, well, he wanted to keep it in Long Island, the Islanders. But it was because the reason why he wanted to buy the Islanders, like, he agreed to do it. He wasn't a hockey fan. He's a huge basketball fan. He plays basketball. He played basketball every single day. He wanted to bring the Nets back to Long Island. That was the goal, was to have the Islanders and the Nets in the same building in Long Island.
Okay. But for some reason, they felt like Brooklyn was the better option than Long Island. I don't know why. I really don't know why.
Well, I think they moved. I mean, part of it, too, was it's easier.
A whole lot better.
Well, it's easier to attract players, too, right? Like, if the Nets stay in Jersey, you think that Kevin Durant is going to come play for the Nets in Jersey
or Long Island?
Well, I feel like this. I feel like if Ratner and Prokhorov, when they were running the team and kept them in New Jersey and did all the things that they're doing to the team in Jersey before they moved, instead of having them do all these changes in Brooklyn, I feel like they would have had a better fan base. Because here's the thing, let's be honest. The Devils play in New Jersey and they have a strong fan base no matter what. And the problem was, the Nets never followed that blueprint. They always called themselves a New York area team. The Devils always called themselves a Jersey team.
Yeah, but Antoine, like, I get it. Like, as far as fan base is concerned, you're probably not wrong. But that's not, I mean, that's not the goal, right? Like, the goal is to try, you'd hope to try to win a championship. And because you have a good team and you win a championship, then you'll draw the fan base. But, like, if I had the option and the money was equal to go play for the Rangers or the Devils, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I'm going to pick the Rangers. I mean, part of the reason why Kevin Durant picked Brooklyn, and you heard that, why, and it's a Fugazi, I mean, Fugazi reason, but it's like, well, you know, the Knicks don't practice in New York City. Brooklyn does. Like, that was the reason, one of the reasons why he chose Brooklyn. I don't think that Kevin Durant chooses the Nets if they're still in Jersey.
Probably not. Probably not. Listen, Brooklyn's a cool spot. It's a great spot.
Yeah, you get to live in the city. You practice in the city. Young guys like that. I know the Rangers fans would rather practice full-time in the city.
What are the Rangers up in Westchester, right?
Yeah. They're in the same facility as the Knicks.
Yeah. It's a nice facility up there.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Stephen Queen. Stevie, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing? First thing, the Knicks and the Nets both need trades. And it's apparent. Like, the Knicks is just, they may not make the playoffs the way they're constructed. I've been pitching Ben Simmons to the Knicks and the Nets get some of the Knicks players. I think that would help both teams. The Nets need another playmaker because you can't have Harden and Durant at their age playing 40 minutes. That's ridiculous. I think Derrick Rose to the Nets, Obi, and maybe, what's the name? RJ Barrett to the Nets. The Knicks go get Ben Simmons and then throw Kyrie to the Philly. I think it benefits all three teams. Because right now, constructed, I don't think the Nets are going to win.
I think Ben Simmons is a tremendous talent. You don't want Ben Simmons on the Knicks. You don't. I'm sorry, you don't. He would be eaten alive by New York.
But you're saying that because you think more mentally than physically.
I do.
That's less about talent, more about how he would handle it mentally.
Right. You're right. But that's not a bad take. I mean, you think Ben Simmons would be able to handle New York City? He can't handle Philly.
Well, his time in Philly is done. I mean, that's clear.
Apparently, he's scared to shoot the ball in practice.
But that was in college, though. That's not just Philly. I mean, that's a demon that he has to overcome or he'll never overcome.
If you can't shoot the ball and you're scared to shoot the ball at LSU, where nobody even cares. I mean, they don't even know they have a basketball team down there. What do you think it's going to be when you're afraid to shoot the ball with the Knicks?
Probably more of the same. But, I mean, you're also talking about a fan base that hasn't had a point guard in how long? I mean, even with the lack of ability to shoot or the hesitancy to shoot, I mean, the guy still turned himself into an all-star.
All right, so would you trade Derrick Rose, Obi Toppin, and R.J. Barrett for Ben Simmons?
All three of those guys for Ben Simmons?
Yeah, all three of those guys for Ben Simmons. Toppin, Barrett, Rose. You bring in Ben Simmons.
And I probably wouldn't trade all three, though. That's a lot to give up for a team. For a desperate team to. I mean, he's not going to play. It doesn't sound like unless the stories are true and he's really broke, and he just needs to come back and play. But I don't. The Knicks need a legitimate point guard.
Yeah,
Kemba Walker was not the answer. Derrick Rose can only play so many minutes. They need somebody.
You need a point guard. You need a guy that can get others involved, that can score the ball, that can defend, like a real point guard.
Yeah, like a real point guard.
Like a real walking, breathing point guard. And you haven't had it in forever.
Which is a humongous problem.
I mean,
you see it every night.
It's almost like not having a quarterback in the NFL.
Like Emmanuel Quickley, and I was listening to Alan the other day, like, when does he graduate to the starting lineup? I like Emmanuel Quickley a lot, but he is not, in the half-court offense, is not a great facilitator of the offense.
No. You don't run the pick and roll with him to get other guys involved for open shots. That's not the kind of point guard he is.
Derrick Rose off the dribble is the only one on the Knicks that can break down that can actually collapse a defense.
But they don't have anyone that's going to beat their man off the dribble, kick it out for a wide open three.
Derrick Rose is the only guy to do it. Derrick Rose is the only guy on the team that can do it.
Right, and Derrick Rose is an older player who's capped at playing 30 minutes a night.
Yeah, and occasionally needs to be rested because he gets, I mean, and you've seen that already this season.
Oh, you just saw it. He's just coming off that.
He gets nicked up.
Where it's just too much for him. All right, 98.7 ESPN giving away up to $2,000 every week of the football season. with the pigskin payout, your faith in Gangrene and Big Blue is your ticket to cash into this thing. So be listening to the 7 o'clock hour today for your chance to win. We're raising the stakes with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Mike Luque Show, only on 98.7 ESPN, your home for football. So I haven't seen it yet. Are you raising your hand?
No, I was just thinking.
Are you waving?
I was just thinking. No, I was doing both. They're just trying to get your attention. I was just thinking, though, and it aggravates me because I watched – I taped the Suns Golden State game and watched some of that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, watching – obviously, we watch all the Knicks games and everything else. But then to see, like, those upper echelon teams, like those elite teams, and those elite teams have really good players, and seeing how hard those teams work, and then watching, like, watching the start of the third quarter for our team, and I'm like, you got the best teams in the league with unbelievable talent that work this hard. We're not nearly as talented. How do we not work hard? I don't get it.
Yeah, to start the third quarter.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it never will. It never will. But he better put a stop to that immediately. I mean, immediately.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.